Corner, back by the Woodpile Podcast. Natasha Borzilova is a singer-songwriter born in Russia, now based in Nashville, Tennessee. As of this recording, she has released 3 solo albums and 2 albums with the Grammy-nominated Bering Strait. Nat stopped by the Woodpile with her Get Box one afternoon, strummed a few tunes, and let me pick her brain for a spell.
So this song is Don't Stop, and it's from my very first solo record. It's called Cheap Escape. Oh, how I'd like to think that I'm divine, but in the aura of your smile, I am the weakest of all humans. I want you in love and conquered at my feet so bad for the power to reject. I trade the need to be your woman, but instead I'm dying for your kiss. I'm furious inside, behind my happiness, cause this heart refuses to resist. I'm sickeningly nice, don't stop the torture, please. What kind of threats could bind together you and me, on standby to disagree, and feisty just to be amusing? And praying for non-existence of eternal love, I'm terrified to scare you off, the one whose soul was never bruised by this choice. I'm dying for your kiss, I'm furious inside, behind my happiness, cause this heart refuses to resist. I'm sickeningly nice, don't stop the torture, please. I'm furious inside, behind my happiness, cause this heart refuses to resist. I'm sickeningly nice, oh, I'm dying for your kiss. I'm furious inside, behind my happiness, cause this heart refuses to resist. I'm sickeningly nice, don't stop the torture, please.
All my friends are buried. All my life's in the past. Only heart's still here for some reason. Time stands still. It's my winter season. These words Natasha sings about her grandmother, which she gave the story behind.
So my grandma was a very strong woman, and she did a lot of things that for women of her generation were not socially acceptable, or even nobody's done them. She rode horses, she competed as a jump over fences, is it steeplechase? She was a principal at school at 25, and all her professors were males. She was a very strong woman. And this conversation that I had with her when I was a teenager really stuck with me, because she said something to me along the lines of, we grow up and we get comfortable in a certain age, and we find ourselves at a certain age. It's different for everybody. It can be 30. And then you age, but you stay the same person inside. And, before you know it, you're the same young person inside, but you look at yourself in the mirror and there's this old face, and you're trapped in this, old body. And it just kind of, it haunted me for years. And my grandmother passed away 6 years ago, and she had Alzheimer's. So she completely changed before passing away. And in writing that song, I was just, I always think about, and another aspect of my grandmother that was so striking is that she was the only real true atheist that I ever met.
Oh, really?
And so she did not believe that there was going to be anything after she passed away.
So what do you mean by true atheist exactly?
Is there
some fake ones out there?
Well, there are people that are agnostics, and there are people that, everybody in Russia were raised atheist.
Right,
if
right.
they were born between a certain time. You know, my grandma was born in 1924, so right. she
came, after the revolution.
That's right. Yeah. So she came into her you know, life as a teenager, or you know, a grown woman, right in the heyday of when communism was actually you know, still this fresh new belief, and everybody were just bright eyed and actually believed that it's going to work. You know, so for her it wasn't, you know, a casual thing. She really truly did not believe in the existence of anything after her death.
Well, then, with the collapse of communism, how did that affect her?
Did not change anything in her beliefs in that. So she all the way until, you know, the last couple of days of her life, she did not believe there's anything. Uh-huh. She actually told my mom that she was visited by her father when she was in the hospital, ready to, you know, pass away. I don't know. So, but in the song, I talk about because I do believe that there is something on the other side. So I hope that she got to experience her true self when she was freed of that shell of a body that she was living in for the last however many decades of her life.
Not to get too political, but when you say her belief was in maybe the state at that time, right? So with the collapse of the state, did that affect her? Like, what did she kind of like look up to, or did you talk about that?
We didn't talk about that too much. My grandmother was already an old woman when communism collapsed.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it really affected her in the sense that her political beliefs changed. She was completely enamored with commercials.
Okay.
And she believed every single thing that they were selling.
Because of propaganda.
Because she never was exposed to that, because we didn't have commercials until, you know, the 90s.
Yeah.
So she grew up without ever seeing anything advertised to her, unless it was, you know, something that had to do with the communism propaganda.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so she always believed, until the day she died, she believed that if she bought, you know, a Revlon cream, it would actually get her rid of her wrinkles, you know?
So she
was a very intelligent woman. So it was this really huge contrast to how, because she was a teacher and she was, you know, she was a biology teacher too. So she should have known better.
Something my grandma told me, it's 80 on the surface, deeper it's still 25. Shell of a body, her prison, jail bars of wrinkles, the winter season.
So this next song is called Water and Wood, and I wrote it with my friend Hunter Davis. And this was the very first song that I ever co-wrote in Nashville. And it's from my second acoustic album called Balancing Act.
Crying and dancing in new fallen snow, winter came early this year. I take off my boots and let bitter cold fix all that is broken here. I am the river, I am the whispering trees. I'd be all at once if only I could. I cannot choose between water and wood. One sends the rain, one catches the wind, binding the earth to the sky. And I have no ties, no roots running deep, scared as a shelterless child. But I am the river, I am the whispering trees. I'd be all at once if only I could. choose between water and wool. I'm lost in my head, I run from my heart. Question the light, wait in the dark. I am the river, I am the whispering trees. I'd be all at once if only I could. But I cannot choose between water and wood. No, I cannot choose between water and wood.
You've lived in Tennessee for a while now. So my first question is, how has living in Tennessee affected your thinking or maybe your artistry?
Living in Tennessee changed a few things in me profoundly. When I first moved to the States, and even before we made a complete transition to living here, just started coming to the States, By nature, I'm a very direct person, and I constantly got in trouble for actually saying what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I think when I was in the band, it actually, I believe now that some of the problems that I've had, you know, in country music and you know, being in the band, were actually caused by other people trying to get their thoughts out through me. So they would go and they would. You know,
yeah, get that. She don't care.
Talk to me extensively about some problems that we were having, and then just kind of nudge me toward, you know, talking to the bosses about it. So I was constantly in trouble. And so over time, because it was a problem, I just kind of learned to, or I'm still learning, and, you know, I'm still getting in trouble all the time, but I'm learning to control the need to express my opinion every step of the way. And so it actually was an interesting thing when I went to Russia a few years ago. I was like 6 or 7 years ago. I was on a trip with my family, and I was visiting with my best friend, who is very much like me and even more direct than me. And the whole time we were, you know, doing things together, I kept thinking, oh gosh, she's so rude. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the trip, she told me, you're so fake.
Oh no.
So yeah. That's when I realized that I completely assimilated.
Yeah, very good, you fit in.
This is a song that's a title track of my second album. It's called Balancing Act. If I ever hurt you, babe, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break my promise to try and treat you right. I used to like myself, but now I'm so disappointed. Love can be so difficult sometimes. Please believe, no harm was intended. I'm just learning this balancing act, and it feels like walking the high wire, baby. Guessing how you will react. It's easier to walk away when it's not working. Why keep on fixing something? Might as well give up. But
Please be silent, let my kisses do the talking. They're so good at begging you to stop. Please believe, no harm was intended. I'm just learning this balancing act, and it feels like walking the high wire, baby, guessing how you will react. Oh, please believe, no harm was intended. I'm just learning this balancing act, and it feels like walking the high wire, baby, guessing how you will react. If I ever hurt you, baby, I'm sorry.
Back to songwriting.
Okay.
Some of the better songs usually come from, I would say, like breakups or new fresh love, you know.
Indeed.
So you've been married for a little while now.
Yeah.
So are you going to have to like get divorced or go have a guy on the side to write new songs? Or I know you've started to write a little bit about your children too.
That's right.
So what are you going to do for material?
So, yes, if you look at the progression of my songwriting, it was mostly passionate love at first, and now you're right, it's all, you know, I started writing about my parents, I started writing about my grandparents, my children, and I think it opened up new songwriting alleys for me. You know, I used to be very one-dimensional, I think, in my songwriting, and now I'm having to search for the inspiration, so I'm actually having to dig a little bit deeper into some of the things that happened to me in my childhood, and, you know, and also I can always A, imagine things,
yeah.
B, relive the situations that happened before, and trust me, I've had some I have baggage. I have enough for another lifetime of songwriting.
So your record company is pretty happy about this.
I don't know. Ask them. This next one is off my Out of My Hands CD, which is the latest one, and the song is called Cynics Hate Hollywood. Thank you for the evening, thank you for the flowers. Uncomfortable silence may result in a kiss. I'll put it on your credit, and if you offer your heart a thing, I'm in. Just give it a little time. I like that you're kind, it's great that you're funny. With serious intentions, which I think you got plenty of. It helps that you're charming. These gentle and strong arms undoubtedly will come in handy, 'cause I'm not going anywhere. You make me feel so beautiful. And now let's stop staring, 'cause this kind of moments make us cynics hate Hollywood. It's all about the patience, but you better call first. The game is only fun if you follow the rules. And now, excuse me, baby, it's time to pretend I don't like you as much as I actually do. But I'm not going anywhere. You make me feel so beautiful. And now let's stop staring, 'cause this kind of moments make us cynics hate Hollywood.
know that I'm not going anywhere. You make me feel so beautiful. And now let's stop staring, 'cause this kind of moments make us cynics. Hey, Hollywood, this kind of moments make us cynics. Hey, Hollywood, this kind of moments, this kind of moments.
So who are the cynics who hate Hollywood?
I was into watching Sex and the City at one point in my life, and that was kind of binge watching that made me influenced me to write this song. And it was mostly just because, you know, I hate romantic comedies, mm-hmm. and sometimes, you know, I've been in situations where it was like in a romantic comedy, and so that's what the whole thing is about. Let's end this moment, because this is like one of those movies in Hollywood that make me feel like, you know, the cynic in me is revolting against
gotcha.
It.
Okay, I gotcha. When she came back, they were covering the mirrors with flowered tablecloths, whatever they found. They said reflections trap the spirit. Guess they don't want him lingering around. That's from the song 1 Second Flat, which Natasha expounded on.
My father passed away from, he had a heart attack and died when I was 13. And partially it was attributed to him being exposed to radiation, because he went to Chernobyl after mm-hmm. the disaster happened. And he was one of the leading scientists on the project mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to clean it up. Mm-hmm. So that exposure and just the lifestyle that he had contributed to his early death. And I was home when it happened, so the song very literally follows everything that happened that day. I had to skip school because I had a music exam, so I was, you know, I was home, and I talked about that in the song. And then one of the aspects what happens after somebody dies in Russia, which I was not aware of, mm-hmm. is that people come and cover every single reflective surface in the house, because there's a you know, belief that the soul will get trapped in this world if it sees itself in the mirror. So that was one of the most depressing parts of, just visually depressing aspects of being in a house that had somebody passed away, was because for 3 days all the mirrors, everything was covered with, you know, things that they could find. So it was sheets and, uh-huh. you know, tablecloths, and it just kind of stuck with me. It took me 20 years to be able to write about it, so.
Well, you said you weren't aware of it. Like, our old, let's say, folk beliefs.
When it comes to things like death and birth and, you know, just the fundamental uh-huh. things in life, they're very, yes. And Russians in general are very superstitious. And I still have little superstitions from being, you know, raised there. So if I leave the house and have to come back, I have to look in the mirror before I leave, or otherwise the trip is going to be unsuccessful. So I have a mirror actually hanging by the door, so we don't have to go far. So things like that.
She can't run that fast. Scary things replace other things that wouldn't last.
So I co-wrote the song with the members of Bering Strait, and the song is called Out of My Hands. How I'm gonna make it through. You're drawing a final line. Someday, not now, I'm gonna look at you, and I'm not gonna cry. Oh no,
not a single tear. I keep myself in check. I tried everything, couldn't bring you back. Maybe you believe there is nothing left, but you're still in my dreams, and it's out of my hands. I don't know why people drift apart. Why did you choose to let go? No matter how I try, I can't explain to my heart that it's not supposed to care anymore. I don't shed a tear, keep myself in check. I tried everything, couldn't bring you back. Maybe you believe there is nothing left, but you're still in my dreams, and it's out of my hands. Oh no. I don't know where, but I made up my mind, and I'm moving on. I don't shed a tear, keep myself in check. I tried everything, couldn't bring you back. Maybe you believe there is nothing left, but you're still in my dreams, and it's out of my hands. Oh no, it's out of my hands.
So look, I want to talk about one song, which I had to make a disclosure. You know, me and your husband kind of helped on. So called Long Night. And I remember John bringing it to me and saying, yeah, this is like this Russian lullaby. It's about an old woman eating a bear's leg or something.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but you would never get that because it's such a beautiful...
It is a beautiful song.
Yeah. And it reminds me of like the Appalachia, like almost like the funeral dirges, that, which they used to sing to babies, you know, as they were rocking them. They're very, very, very bleak. And
that's
songs
right.
Full of death. So talk about that if you don't mind.
So when I was growing up, my parents sang these lullabies to me. They're just these little verses. Баю, баюшки, баю, не ложися на краю, придет серенький волчок и укусит за бачок. It's like, you know, sleep baby, don't lay on, you know, don't be on the side of the bed because a gray wolf will come and bite you on the side, you know? It's just these random little, you know, just like nursery rhymes. Uh-huh. And they were always these really gruesome things that were happening. And naturally, I started doing the same thing when I became a mother. And my husband at the time was working on a track. My husband plays music and does electronic music, and you know, he appears on my record as John Caldwell, just like he is in real life. But yes, he's known as hip hop and many different names. But he was working on a track, and I was trying at the time to think of how I can take those lullabies that I was singing to my then just one child, my daughter, and how I can arrange them and insert them into something that I was doing creatively. And as I was playing my little lullabies and he was playing his track, I was like, oh my gosh, it just fits. I literally changed one note, mm-hmm. and it just clicked. It was perfect. And I put in some of the ones that are more known, that everybody sings to their children in Russia. I also used a couple of verses that were very specific to the area where my mother was from the southern Russia, which only people from that area would know, and they're really old. And I thought it was kind of neat because those songs were sang to her by my great-great grandmother. Okay. So I thought that was so awesome that I could, you know, make this synthesis of, you know, of having a, you know, a contemporary beat underneath and having all these things, and use a song from, you know, 19th century southern
Russia.
The
American way of making hybrids and gumbos.
That's right.
And
but one of the passages there is about a bear, and the bear is walking through the forest, and he's, and you can't really tell that it's a bear. It actually never says. We are assuming it's a bear, but he's walking through the forest at night, and everything is asleep, and the only thing is not asleep is this old woman, and the old woman is sitting on the fur and boiling the leg, and that's how we figured out that that the creature that's walking through the forest limping, walking on the wooden leg, is this creature that lost the leg because this old woman is eating the leg right now. So I don't know, it's just this really creepy Russian lullaby that I thought was awesome.
Maybe that's your thing. Maybe you should, you know, Ring Around the Rosie.
That's right.
It's about the,
right.
the Black Plague. Mm-hmm. So
I do know
maybe
that.
You can make a whole album of like maybe horrific maybe, children's songs.
That's right. Maybe it's in the next project.
If folks want to check out your website, your Facebook, and all that good stuff, where do they go?
So there's the website, natashaborzilova.com, B-O-R-Z-I-L-O-V-A is how you spell that.
Traditional
funky,
spelling.
That's right, funky last name. And then, of course, you can find me on Facebook under the same name, and I friend everybody.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also, check out stageit.com, where Natasha will have some live shows available. In the Corner, Back by the Woodpile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.